Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
In recent weeks, we've heard a lot about the measles outbreak involving 100 children across 14 states, although 70 cases are in California alone. Personally, I can't help but think some of the measles outbreak is due to the thousands of undocumented children that President Obama allowed to flood across the border last year and, using our tax dollars, relocated them across the nation without the proper screening for communicable diseases. With the 70 cases in California, they have to remember that the majority of the children were relocated in California. This also has brought up a negative spotlight on parents who choose not to get their children vaccinated for one reason or another. One of the major concerns is the way in which the vaccines are made. My guest today is Debbie Vintage. She's Executive Director at Children of God for Life, which is located in sunny Florida. So thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me on your show.
I have decided that after I record this, I'm going to gather up a ton of snow and ship it to you. How about that?
It would melt quickly.
It would. I'm sure it would.
I have to correct you because according to the latest stats, now we're at 92 cases
in California.
Hello. In California. But it's interesting. I actually was just checking this because people were talking about this flood of measles cases. Mm-hmm. And the Center for Disease Control said that there was, as of January 30th, 102 cases. And the state of California says, as of yesterday, that there are 92 cases there. And they actually broke it down by county, you know, where they are and so forth. And then Arizona has 9. So I said, wait a minute. I thought there's supposed to be 14 states with these big outbreaks.
Well, that's what I thought, too. We have one. We have had one reported in Pennsylvania over in Shippensburg.
That's the other one. There you go.
Okay. That's the other one,
must
yes.
Must be it.
Yeah. But then again, though, that's still just 3 states. Where are all the other states?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're reporting measles cases, but they may not be confirmed measles. Mm. And so, you know, that's something to think about. I don't know. You know, maybe a child has a rash and the parent thinks it's a measles, or they reported that and it comes back. It's not. I don't know.
Okay.
But it is kind of unusual. The numbers aren't adding up.
That's for sure. But that's not unusual with this administration. On other issues, you know, on very, very many issues, their numbers don't add up. What is the Children of God for Life?
Well, we are a pro-life organization that was founded actually in 1999 with the intention of educating the public about embryonic versus adult stem cell research. That's where we actually began because at the time no one knew what a stem cell was.
Right.
And so we would talk to, you know, educating people about how what they were doing in destroying embryos to get their stem cells when adult stem cells were working much better and there was no reason to go that way.
Right.
And it was like right at the end of the Clinton administration when all this was happening, and actually would have been 14 years ago today.
Wow.
This month I should say, that there was a publication that came out about vaccines that were produced using aborted fetal cell lines.
Hmm.
And I read the publication and I was really upset about it, and because I knew that my children had had some of those vaccines and I didn't know it. And
very
I looked
few
at
parents
it like,
do. Mm-hmm.
And I thought of this just in the same way that we have embryonic stem cells research and what they were trying to do with that. The only difference between an embryo and the fetus that was involved and the babies that were involved in the aborted fetal research was the age.
Mm.
You know, the babies that were
it's
being
still
aborted,
a baby. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They were much further on in development. So, you know, and I thought, well, I can't do anything about it, so, you know, what am I going to do?
Mm. But well, you're just one person, yes.
I can't take on the pharmaceutical industry, right?
Right?
So I just kind of ignored it. But there was just a real strong tugging in my heart, and it was really affecting my prayer life, and I knew God was calling me to do this, and I just didn't want to do it.
Right.
But I finally did give in, and we formed the Campaign for Ethical Vaccines and started trying to put pressure on the pharmaceutical industry to provide moral alternatives.
And I know that one of the companies that you put pressure on is Merck.
Correct.
And they, what was it, back in 2008, they actually said that they would create an ethical vaccination. You know, my kids, of course, the youngest one is 26, and they had, you know, they had their MMR and all that. But I'm thinking back then when they had their vaccinations, they were, I'm hoping anyway, they were ethical
it
vaccinations.
Depends. My children didn't. And my children are older than yours.
Okay.
They the first dose that they would have gotten would have probably been okay.
Uh-huh.
But the second one definitely wasn't.
Oh, my.
1979 is when Merck licensed their MMR in the United States. By 1981, that was the only product out there.
So yeah,
it's
a moneymaker for them.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's the only licensed vaccine in the United States. There's not any competition, so it's not like we can go somewhere else for help.
Not within Merck, the U.S. anyway, yeah.
Exactly. So Merck was a primary target for us initially going in,
mm-hmm.
because they make the chickenpox vaccine and the hepatitis A vaccine, and both of those also use aborted fetal cell lines.
Oh, wow.
Their shingles vaccine, for if any of your listeners are elderly and
mm-hmm.
listening, that shingles vaccine also uses aborted fetal cells. So they there's no alternatives. You know, there is one other hepatitis A vaccine, also uses aborted fetal cells. That's made by GlaxoSmithKline. And then we have a polio, but there's a moral option. Some of these vaccines that I'm talking about here have moral options. The ones I just listed have
the chicken
no
pox,
moral options.
Chicken pox, yeah, the hepatitis A and shingles. There's no moral, no moral
that's
alternative.
That's right. There's no moral alternative for chickenpox, hepatitis A, chicken, and MMR. None
and MMR,
in the United
okay.
States.
Wow.
Now, there's no moral alternative for chickenpox anywhere in the world.
Oh, nowhere in the world.
Nowhere in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
But MMR and hepatitis A have moral alternatives in Japan.
In Japan. Oh, well, we just hop on a plane. I mean, every parent can afford to hop on a plane and go to Japan, right?
Oh, right. That's something I just said in one of my recent press releases. Surprisingly enough, some parents have done that.
Wow.
We have families that we have helped, you know,
mm-hmm.
connect them with the right people at the Kita Sato Institute in Japan. They have flown over there and gotten themselves and their children vaccinated. And I just think, I'm floored that they could do that. You know, I mean, that's a pretty expensive shot.
Yeah. We had our Navy son was stationed in Okinawa for 3 years. Yeah, it's an expensive.
And it's funny you brought up the Navy on that, because we did have, years ago, I had a Navy commander who contacted us about wanting to get the hepatitis A vaccine and for his members of his, on his ship.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually ported in Japan and got the vaccines over there.
Okay, well,
so
good.
Every one of them did it.
Wow.
That's great.
That's for sure. You know, it's tragic that we have a company like Merck that has a stranglehold on some of these vaccinations. And there's nowhere in this country where we can get an ethical alternative. We have to travel halfway around the world to get a vaccination that is not a vaccine that is not that does not involve the killing of an embryo.
Well, actually, we don't, and that's what the purpose of my press release was. A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, January 29th. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Was that Merck produces single doses? They always did, up until 2008. They had made these vaccines, and parents were not concerned about the rubella, because rubella is a very, very mild childhood disease. If the
mm-hmm.
child gets it, they have lifetime immunity. It's like a mild rash that lasts 24, 48 hours,
right.
You know, low-grade fever. A lot of times children would get rubella, and parents didn't even know they had
mm-hmm.
it. They just thought it was, you know, an allergic reaction
right.
or teething, you know,
yeah.
cranky. And it's been eliminated in the United States. So that was since 2001, there have been less than 10 cases per year of rubella in the United States, and none of those cases were among American citizens. They were all imported cases,
mm-hmm.
And none of them spread the disease to anyone else either. So
okay.
rubella wasn't our concern, but measles and mumps were. So Merck was providing them. Parents were vaccinating with them. We had actually, because Merck was selling them in 10 packs, and it was too expensive, doctors would say, well, I don't want to order all 10 just because I got one patient that wants this.
Yeah.
So what we would do is we set them up with pharmacies, and the pharmacies would ship to the doctors. So
okay.
that was just great.
Well,
you know,
yeah.
we had a very good situation for parents. They were able to vaccinate. And then out of the clear blue, Merck stopped making them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we were used to shutdowns where they'd have problems in their factory and manufacturing, and they might delay.
Right.
And so that's kind of the way they stalled at first. We put a lot of pressure on them. When we started writing to them, they said, we're not going to produce them anymore. So,
and their reasoning was?
Financial, really, because
they were losing money.
Well, no, they didn't lose a they didn't lose a dime. They actually made $10 million.
Oh,
the last year that they provided them, they had made $10 million on those vaccines.
And that was a single dose. That was providing the single dose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, mm-hmm. on just the separate doses. So we knew they were making money on them. But the problem is for Merck is that they have to have three different vials. They have to have three different, okay? So, so rather than do that, if we had just one, we'd have so much more storage space in our facility, those kind of things.
Wow.
So it was really an economic decision for them to do it.
$10 million, they didn't want to lose any of that profit by having to have three vials rather than one vial.
I don't get that logic, I guess, but $10 million is probably a drop in the bucket.
Well, I would think so for a big company like Merck.
But we had a company that was interested in out-licensing them. So in other words, if Merck would have out-licensed the vaccines to someone else that would provide them, they were willing to do, company was willing to step forward and do that, and Merck refused.
And these were the ethical vaccines?
That's correct.
The single doses.
So at any time, Merck could provide these to the public. So they can provide them now.
So they have the capability, but they do not have the will to do it.
That's right. So we need to give them the will.
we do, because I think a lot of, and I've talked to parents who, are concerned about the use of embryonic stem cells in creating these vaccines. And that's one of the main reasons, or in some cases, the main reason that they're not going to use the vaccines for their children because of that concern of the destruction of an embryo.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me correct you on that. It's not an embryonic stem cell. It's actually an aborted fetal cell. And the difference in that, of course, again, is the age. An embryonic stem cell is taken from an early developing embryo.
Okay.
These cell lines were actually taken from tissue, from lung tissue, from a baby. The one cell line, which is called WI-38, that came from a 3-month gestation female baby that was aborted in Sweden. And the tissue, from that tissue, they actually produce a cell line. And then that cell line, what they do is they freeze it. And when they want to make production, produce a vaccine, they take it out of deep freeze. And they cultivate the virus on the cell line.
So what ends up? Go ahead.
They cultivate it so that the virus will grow, and it'll have enough. They'll have enough, virus for making several thousand doses of vaccines at a time.
Right.
And then they separate the cell line from the virus. But unfortunately, if you think about this, and you can imagine back to biology days when you watch something growing in the petri dish in the lab. Okay, they have to separate that gel or that cell line, in this case, from the virus, and they can't. It's impossible to get the DNA in the cells out. So they end up with cell components, DNA, and protein in that vaccine.
Oh, and you're saying this was from a 3-month-old aborted female.
That's correct. And the parents aborted the child because they thought they had too many children. They felt they had too many children. That was the reason that was listed.
That's not a good reason.
And then the other cell line that's used in some of the other vaccines is called MRC5. That's Medical Research Council, and it stands for number 5. It was the 5th abortion. And this abortion actually took place in the United Kingdom, where the baby was aborted because of psychiatric reasons of the mother.
Mm.
We all know that about those health exceptions.
Oh, yeah, and how they can be warped.
Yeah. And even worse with the rubella vaccine. There were over 80 abortions that were done before they perfected that vaccine. They did several abortions from women who were pregnant and were infected with rubella, trying to find the live virus in the baby.
Oh.
So they did
so they
find
killed,
it.
So they killed the baby trying to find the live virus in the baby because the mother had rubella during the pregnancy.
Correct. So because the reason being that when a mother contracts rubella in the first trimester of her pregnancy, there's a 20-25% chance the child's going to be born with some form of congenital rubella syndrome.
Right.
Now, congenital rubella syndrome can cause deafness, it can cause blindness, it can cause mental impairment, and it can actually result in miscarriage too. So it's dangerous to the unborn child.
Right.
No doubt. The mothers at the time were not vaccinated. They could have been. There was a moral rubella vaccine out.
Mm-hmm.
There's also other things and they may not have had some of these available at the time, but now today we have a product called immune globulin, which will give a pregnant woman, if she's not immune, she finds that out at her first prenatal checkup. They do a blood test.
Right.
If she's not immune, then they can give her immune globulin, which will protect her it gives temporary protection against rubella.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, in any case, we're beyond that now because rubella is not endemic in the United States at all.
Wow. As you're talking, and I'm thinking of all the human embryos, not just the cells, but the human embryos that have been destroyed to produce these quote unquote good vaccines.
Right.
But the majority of people do not understand. My fear is that even though at this point they're not, the politicians are saying parents must get this vaccination for their child. My fear is that they're going to use this quote-unquote epidemic of measles to push for that, because we see parents being ostracized. There was one doctor in California who said he would no longer see parents unless their children were vaccinated.
Right.
I see this being pushed. We have Chris Christie and Rand Paul saying it should be parents' choice. Rand Paul specifically saying that the state does not own the children. And Chris Christie saying, well, it should be a parent's choice. But then I looked on New Jersey's website, and New Jersey has an awful long list of mandatory vaccinations. So I'm not sure where Chris Christie's coming from. And, of course, the White House is saying science should tell parents that they need to get these vaccinations. But they're not looking at, I think, the root cause of parents' concern is the destruction of embryos.
Well, that's correct. And I heard so much last night on Fox News about that. They were talking about, that they thought that these vaccines should be mandatory and that, all these outbreaks are happening because of these unvaccinated children. In reality, that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the percentage of people that have already been vaccinated and received two doses, they are also infecting people. That's called vaccine failure.
Mm,
and
that's
then
for sure.
there is the fact that when you look at the state laws, okay, they said they shouldn't be allowed to go to school.
Right.
Well, okay, every single state law, there's 48 of 50 states allows, first of all, religious exemptions.
Right.
Of the 48 states, 19 more allow philosophical exemptions.
Okay.
Okay, so if a parent files a religious or philosophical exemption, and they all, oh, by the way, in all 50 allow medical exemptions.
Okay.
So, the vaccine or the percentage that's vaccinated in the schools is extremely high.
Right.
Because most parents don't bother with that, and they, so there's a very minimal number. And they, there is a required herd immunity to stop the spread of disease. So if all of a sudden there's an outbreak at the school, the very next thing that happens is all children in that school who are not vaccinated are sent home, whether they're medical exemption, religious exemption, or philosophical, it makes no difference. They're sent home until until it passes to prevent it from spreading any further.
Right.
So there are laws in place, and they work just fine.
But
the fact that we have this outbreak in California is something, as you mentioned in the beginning of your show, and I have to say, since California and Arizona both are crossing points for border, we have a huge influx of illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
No one's looking at that.
Right.
And I don't see this problem spreading anywhere else in the United States.
Right.
You know, I mean, yes, we have isolated cases of measles. We always do.
Exactly. That's a typical year. Yeah, for the isolated cases.
Yeah, there were over 600 cases of measles in 2014.
So, no, nobody's talking about that.
No, they're not talking.
We're talking about the 100 in the supposedly 14 states.
Right, correct.
Like you said, the numbers.
92 came from California.
Yeah.
So... So again, I'm not trying to downplay it. Obviously, there's a problem in California, but
there's always a problem in California. So what's new?
Yeah, but for the whole country to
be up
in arms and frightened and saying, oh, we have to mandate these vaccines for everywhere, it's completely ludicrous.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Why in the world would anybody think that we have this big, horrible problem that now all of a sudden we're going to take away parental rights that have been in place for decades?
Yeah. That's sad, but hopefully politicians will not use this crisis. But I know there was someone in the Obama administration who said basically never let a crisis go by.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see where this ends, because even though the White House at this point is saying what should be parents' choice, I'm not sure where it will actually end. Of course, none of us do, and it's concerning.
But I'm going to say the same thing. So if we never want to let a good crisis go to waste, then how about that's why we're doing what we're doing right now and saying, get us the moral doses.
Yeah.
Now, they have a moral responsibility to do that. I firmly believe that with all of my heart. They have, if Merck is the only licensed company in this country, it's not like we can go somewhere else,
That's
they have
true.
A social and moral responsibility. to the public.
Politicians in Washington are always handing out money, so why don't they give money to pay for the plane ticket for the parents who want to go to Japan to, you know, to get their children vaccinated with Moral vaccine.
Well, even better than that, why don't they go ahead and give the funding to the company who's sitting here
ready
to produce Moral alternatives? And because Merck would not cooperate, they went ahead and produced their own doses that are ready to go. They have the ability to do this. They need funding for the clinical trials. That's it. We could have vaccines, Moral vaccines in this country.
So the company is still did actually produce a vaccine, but they don't have the money to do the testing.
Correct.
Wow.
Clinical trials cost millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, they've gotten funding to do the research. They've gotten funding to get where they are with these, and they're all morally produced. It's just a matter of getting the funding. So
I can't help but think Merck is behind making sure that they do not get the funding that they need to do the test.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would agree with you 100%.
Yeah, Merck does not want to lose their $10 million piece of pie. And so parents are in a situation, they're being, in some cases, being pushed against the wall, or in the case of, you know, this measles case in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania. You know, the doctor specifically said it was because of an unvaccinated child. This is Dr. Michael Ryan. He's the chairman of pediatrics for Geisinger Health System. He says, quote, "The safety and efficiency of vaccines may be the best proven fact in medicine. The people on the anti-vaccine side are not looking at reality," unquote.
I have to kind of chuckle, and I'll tell you why. And I'm definitely not an anti-vaccine person. If I were, I would be not trying to get a moral alternative,
right. Obviously.
Right. But I have to laugh because I had someone say to me, you know, every year I get the flu vaccine, and I've never gotten the flu. And I said, really? I said, I've never had a flu vaccine in my life, and I never get the
flu. Never get it either,
So how do you know the vaccines work?
Exactly.
So that's a very good question.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you have titers in your system that says that are anti, how do you know that that is a result of the vaccine? How do you know that the child would never have contracted it anyway? The other thing I want to talk about is that of these outbreaks in California, I want to say 57% of these were of people over 20 years of age. These are not children.
Oh, really? 57% were over 20?
Correct.
Oh, my goodness.
And some of those had already been vaccinated.
Yeah.
So there are issues here that they're just ignoring. They don't want to discuss those. They just want to say, let's just force vaccines on everybody and that'll end this and make it all go away.
Wow.
Not true.
Wow. These kids, 57% are over age 20, so more than likely 90% of them, as a guess, have already had the vaccines, the MMR.
They should have.
Yeah.
You know, the vast majority of them, sure. But the vaccine is supposed to, with two doses, be good for life.
For life, oh yeah. But then they also say that with, I'm trying to think. You hear recently there's been cases of meningitis and such on campus, cases, I think, of chickenpox or measles. Anyway, but yeah, the supposedly lifetime vaccines are not proven to be the case.
That's right. That's right. Now, they did, for the meningitis that you're talking about, some of the states, and not all of them, require another dose of meningitis before going to college. But when I say require, all states have these vaccines required or mandated for school attendance.
Right.
But they give parents the ability to opt out.
Opt out if they want.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which they should.
Yeah, they should, because
the state doesn't own our children.
Yeah, just like Rand Paul said, the state does not own our children. But unfortunately, the state is beginning to think that they do and that they can mandate whatever they want to and force parents to do things against their will. We see more and more parental rights being taken away from parents in this country. So what can we, the average person, do to help educate, what can we do? We can't pack up and go to Japan for the vaccines. So.
No. The best thing we can do is try to put pressure on members of the House and Senate in Washington, D.C. I would highly recommend doing that.
Okay.
We have talked to some people, actually, that we may be able to make some progress there if we can, get enough people that are going up in arms and saying, give us the moral doses.
Okay.
Because they can. I mean, Merck will do what the Center for Disease Control asks them to do. They go by what the CDC recommends.
Right.
And you would think that right now, especially, that they would want as many people vaccinated as possible.
But they don't look at the destruction of an embryo in the production of these vaccines as a problem. That's the problem.
No, they don't. But the Vatican has come out and said it is.
Okay.
So.
Good.
That has caused a lot of people even more confusion.
Okay.
The Vatican came out and said that there was that it was right to abstain from these vaccines if it could be done without significant risk. But they also said that a parent could use them if there was, going to be a really big, serious problem.
Right.
So they left it to the parents, and rightfully so.
Right.
The church
be.
Didn't try to intercede and say, "Oh, you can't vaccinate,"
mm-hmm.
or "Oh, you can."
Right.
But they said, you know, it wasn't obligatory. They said it was laudable to do so, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it very, very clear of things that parents should be doing, protesting, you know, contacting,
mm-hmm.
putting pressure on the pharmaceutical industry and the government agencies and health officials. So that's very important. That's a really important thing to do. But what has happened is people look at the one line that said where they basically left it up to parents. They said, okay, so we can vaccinate, and there's no problem.
Oh, okay. They didn't read that entire.
They didn't read the caveat that goes
yeah,
with that.
That's typical, unfortunately. And, of course, the media is going to concentrate on just that one and ignore the rest of the statement. Yeah. How can folks contact you?
You can contact us through our website at Children of God for Life. The website address is www.cogforlife.org. That's COG, the word for, forlife.org. And we're on Facebook as well.
Okay, you're on your own Facebook. Okay. So
and
it's a pardon?
And on Twitter.
And on Twitter.
All those things. I don't like Twitter.
No.
I just personally, it's just one of those things.
One more thing
people,
to do.
Yeah, one more thing I have to deal
yeah.
with.
Yeah, I understand. So you're at www.cog. The word for, forlife.org.
That's correct.
And you're also on Facebook.
Yes, ma'am.
And
they can call. Our phone number and all is listed if they want to call or write
okay.
us. Phone number's also listed.
On the website. Okay. Thanks so much, Debbie, for being with us. And we have to continue fighting this because, like you're saying, there are moral alternatives. We just need to convince those in positions of power that they need to go that route.
That's right.
Yep.
God
okay.
bless you. Thank
God bless you.
You
too. Take care.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.